Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. I'm John Ramos, and joining me here to encourage you today in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, man. How you doing?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, man.
Yeah.
Good to be alive, isn't it? Well, thank you. Thank you. I like to see.
Yeah. That's important.
This is a good thing. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. It's a little...
Just all right?
I'm doing all right. Getting a little chilly.
A little chilly.
Starting to get a little cool right now.
Any cheese with that chili or...
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Making sure. Making
a little early
sure.
In the season for it.
All right. We know some people who make some interesting chili, even with Spam. But if you want that recipe, we can get that to you. But anyway, some of the things we're going to be discussing today, and we have a really great program for you today. But Prince Charles. He calls threat on Christianity in the Middle East an indescribable tragedy. And, you know, it's amazing. More and more leaders are being bold enough to be able to speak about the realities of what's happening to Christians in the Middle East as they're being persecuted just for being a Christian. And it's important. We're going to talk about that because this is not a time to remain silent. This is a time to vocalize and be strong in the Lord and to stand for those who are being tormented, tortured, killed. You know, there was a couple in India that were killed, Christian couple here just recently. And we want to be able to lift all the persecuted church up today. That number, there's always been a persecuted church, a remnant that's been persecuted, but that number is increasing more and more every day. And we want to encourage you to pray for Christians and pray for Jews as they're facing unprecedented persecution in this day and hour. We're also going to be talking about the Bible Museum and a president who said that he read the Bible every day while in office. Pretty interesting. But the Bible Museum is coming to Washington, D.C., just a couple of blocks away from the mall in Washington, D.C. And pretty amazing, the Green family, owners of a Hobby Lobby.
Wow.
They have the largest Bible collection artifacts in the world, and they are putting it together. We are so excited about that, and there's great vision, and it's going to be a phenomenal building. I believe 430,000 square feet.
Wow.
8 floors of a museum. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to talk more about that. We're also going to be talking about some grades that have been given into certain states for sex trafficking. We want to continue to be able to educate you, our audience, and others so that we can continue to know how to pray and to help those who are being tormented and trafficked, children, women, from going down that path. And there's things that we can do to help prevent that and also to participate with ministries and organizations that are right now doing tremendous work in rescuing and doing extractions of those children and women that are being abused right now. But it's happening. Slavery is happening today, and we must not remain silent. We must not close our eyes to the tragedies that are right before us. I believe that God will hold us accountable.
That's right.
I mean, we are the light of the world. God's equipped us with everything that we need, and it's His desire. It's His desire to move wherever there is injustice. You know, God is a just God, and it's so wonderful. I love, you know, the scriptures that tells that God is not unjust. You know, oftentimes people look at things that happen in their life and they see a tragedy. They see a bad experience, and they say, I want justice. I want things, and justice means to make things right. It means to bring things back in order and in equality. And God is the only one true judge. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk more about that today, about the justice of God, and we can trust Him. We can rely on Him. He is this, you know, we can appeal to the Supreme Court of Heaven, and the one who is integrity, the one who is the epitome of fairness and honor and love, always has ears to hear our appeal. Don't take your appeal to man. Don't take your appeal to yourself. take your appeal today to the courtroom of heaven. Let the righteous judge of the world rule on your behalf. He is so good and so gracious. And I'm just, you know, I'm just so filled with the awe of God today. What a beautiful privilege we have to serve him and to live our lives for him.
Right.
And I want to encourage you today to make today count. Seize the moment. Do all that you can in the life that you have for God and his kingdom and for humanity. Because once it's over, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
When after this season is done, it's done. And you don't want to live a life with regrets. You want to live a life that says, I have, you know, left it all in the field here. I squoze this sponge of life for God here, and I'm not going to take anything with me in the locker room of heaven. I'm not going to take nothing there with me because I left it all here on earth for God. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Yeah.
What a pleasure we have. It's so, so awesome. I want us to talk and get right into the words of Prince Charles. This is really interesting. You're going to be able to see him speak on this behalf. But what we're seeing right now in the Middle East is radical Islam and their need, through their ideology, through their religion, through what they believe in the Quran, they are butchering people, especially Christians. They're cutting people's heads off. And we must be ones that don't live by the latest news cycle and be out of sight, out of mind, but we want to be ones that are alert to the awareness of what's happening around the world. And Bridget Gabriel recently, you know, shared with us, and we shared it on VFN TV, that of the 1.2 billion Muslims, 1.8, 15 to 20% are radicalized, and that number is about 300 million. So not every Muslim believes in killing and cutting people's heads off, but there's about 300 million of them that do. And it's an evil. It's something that we're going to have to confront. And we must not remain silent and close our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm appreciative of world leaders that are stepping up to the plate and are willing to confront this evil and put an end to it. I want you to listen to the words of Prince Charles as he begins to share a little bit about what he describes as an indescribable tragedy. Watch this.
It is an indescribable tragedy. Christianity is now under such threat in the Middle East. An area where Christians have lived for 2,000 years and across which Islam spread in 700 AD, with people of different faiths living together peaceably for centuries. Rather than remaining silent, faith leaders have, it seems to me, a responsibility to ensure that people within their own tradition respect people from other faith traditions. I pray, too, that all people and communities will engage in building respect and tolerance. For without these, the very freedom on which society is built is threatened with destruction.
Respect and tolerance. We don't respect, you know, is there a respect in the Middle East towards Christians and towards the Jews? When you have, you know, groups like the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas, who is allegedly the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, saying that they want to annihilate Jews just for being Jews.
Mm.
When you look at it, it makes no sense, no common sense to any man that a group of people would want to annihilate a group of people just for the sake of being who they are.
Right.
You know, and the Jews have done so much in particular for those that live on the Gaza Strip. They've provided electricity.
Mm-hmm.
They've provided tons of food and concrete so that they could be able to build their homes. Even their own temples, they've provided this for them. And it is Hamas that we found out through, you know, this recent operation of Protective Shield that Hamas had stolen. Protective Edge. They have stolen all those goods and all those, you know, material so that they can build underground tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
We must not remain silent, and we must be aware of what's happening. We talked about the Dutch parliament member, a welder, not too long ago on this program, and he wrote a book called Marked for Death. He has a panic room in his house where he is alerted because there's threats on his life from radical Muslims who want to kill him.
Right.
So he goes to a room in his house, that there's a metal door no one can get into it. No one should live under this type of terror for speaking the truth. And I want to encourage you that now more than ever, it's going to require all of us to stand for truth, to stand for God, to stand for those that are being persecuted and destroyed. This is not a political thing. This is about right and about wrong. And there should not be any ideology, any thinking, any religious practice that should condone torturing, hurting, beheading any person. It should be zero tolerance, zero tolerance. And right now, if you have a concept, an ideology that doesn't exist, you're already done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we understand that from different government leaders that our borders are porous. Listen, it's not over. We must remain watchmen on the wall. We must be alert to the reality that there are people that want to do us harm in this nation. And if you fall asleep to that reality, you're next. I think of the proverbial frog that boiled mm-hmm. in the water. Mm. The heat was turned up just little by little, and they never took notice before the frog just dies. And you can't be that way.
Right.
You must discern the times that we're living in. You must have ears to hear and eyes to see and not be just concerned about getting a word for yourself,
yeah.
but getting a word for your family, getting a word for the church, getting a word for your country so that we can remain faithful watchmen on the wall. And I believe that if we do that and turn our hearts back to God, we can avoid the judgment that is about to come. God will judge us if we turn our hearts away from him and we raise our fist towards him and say that we don't need him and go our own way. The good news is that we can awaken to that reality, and that awakening mm-hmm. could cause us to turn our hearts to him. We believe that some of the greatest days for the church and America are upon us. Should we have a third great awakening, a move of God that sweeps across this country? Listen, the book of Acts showed us what happened when the power of God came in Acts chapter 2 and overtook a small number of people that banded together in one accord. They literally shook the cities and the regions they were in with the power of God, the love of God. They've gathered every day in the temple, every day from house to house, because nobody wanted to leave.
Wow.
This is what we can expect when the move of God comes. When we get back, we're going to talk about hunger, the coming move of God, and how we can all get in. When we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, 2 locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our 2 locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today.
I'm so stupid. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. And if your children are struggling in school and saying things like that, Dr. Kathy Cook has a suggestion.
We're word smart, we think with words. When we're excited, we probably talk. When we are being logic smart, we think with questions, and we love it when things make sense. When we are being picture smart, we might like fiction and history because it comes alive in our mind's eye. When we're being music smart, we think with rhythms and melodies, and we can drive people nuts with our humming and our toe-tapping. When we're being body smart, we think with movement and touch, and we can be the classic athlete, but we can also be the dancer, the clay sculptor, or the actor.
All of us have some of those different smarts, and it's good to encourage your child to understand that. Learn more at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. And over 1.4 million footprint out there. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bring in some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yes.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He's good. He can handle all that kind of stuff.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about the coming move of God.
Amen.
I know this is something that we really enjoy talking about, Steve and Pat, and I know that we're so excited for that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we love to see people come into the kingdom of God and make Jesus Lord, but we love to see transformation in the hearts of people. A lot of times people want to see behaviors change in someone's life, but that's just behavior modification. Mm-hmm. That's not transformation. God calls us, you know, to be transformed. That means change. We go through a metamorphosis. We were one thing and then we become something else. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new, and there's nothing more exciting than to see Jesus glorified in the hearts of men and to be in his presence and his glory. You know, I come to realize that many people that haven't encountered God's presence in a tangible and awesome way, they can't connect like to heaven. In their mind, they wonder, those that don't know God, like, well, what are you going to do in heaven? Understand that once you've encountered God, once you've been in his presence, you never want to leave. You want to spend eternity in his presence. You want to spend eternity worshiping him and just glorifying him and being in his awesome presence. There's no feeling like it. It is the most amazing thing that you can encounter in your life. And the Bible tells us that we go from glory to glory. Mm. I mean, one moment in his presence can change anything. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom.
Mm.
There's things that happen in the spiritual realm when we encounter the glory of God. Things come off of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Demons flee. And we need more of his presence. We need to live more in that reality than the reality we live in on everyday life. We can experience, we can encounter the presence of God. And we're carriers, we're kingdom containers.
Mm-hmm.
And we can release the kingdom anywhere we are because the king is with us.
Yeah, it's powerful. Like you're saying, you know, where the Spirit is, that's where the freedom is, liberty and freedom. And what I think about is just like God can do in one moment, you know, what can't be done in a lifetime.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the Bible says that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. And it's just like, you know, we've talked about it before. It's just like, imagine the coming harvest. Imagine, just take the roof off of your thinking and begin to have vision for what God wants to do. The coming harvest, and what comes to mind even as we think about this and as we're talking about this, we've had a couple discussions about Rick Joyner's book, The Harvest. And in one of those things, Rick Joyner talks about how God, it's not going to be like in past movements where you've seen the one evangelist or the one prophet or whoever do mighty works. It's just like God's going to raise up a generation of just the mighty ones. and you're going to see children lay their hands on a hospital building, and the whole building is going to be healed. Hmm. And it's just like, just begin to think bigger. Begin to think about what God wants to do an entire generation. And it's like what he can do in one moment of your life is going to be greater than what you can even fathom.
Yeah.
And have that hunger. And it's just like what my prayer has been. It's just like, God, get me out of my mindsets and just get me into you. Because so often it's just like what we've been talking about. There's so many things that limit us. But oftentimes what can limit us more than anything is basically our own thinking, our own selves. And it's just like, just get lost in God and go after God.
Yeah. It's so important because we have to take the lid off. Mm. You know, so many times we limit God because we have the Lord in a box. We measure him to a certain degree. There's so many things that we don't know of God. I was having this conversation with my son this morning where he was asking all of me these deep theological questions, you know, and I'm like, you know, son, it will wreck your mind trying to figure everything out about God. You can spend all your time trying to figure him out, or you can take that time and believe God's word and move in faith. There's things that we just don't know about God, and we can spend eternity discovering and encountering God. We're talking about space and galaxies and planets and all this type of stuff that young, you know, young boys want to talk about. And I said, you know, it was only because of telescopes that at one time we know that there's a galaxy and a moon and Mars and Pluto and all that. There's, because someone, you know, there was an invention that came out and it was a telescope and we're able to see that. But prior to that, man did have no awareness of the galaxies.
Right.
They had no awareness of Pluto. There was no awareness. And they lived life without that revelation. How many things are we living life today that we know no idea about?
Wow.
That we're going to come into a fuller revelation and awareness at the proper and appointed time. And it's funny you're talking about hunger because, you know, that's what moves God.
Mm-hmm.
Hunger, desire, a yearning. And some of the things that we got to be careful about is the trappings of this world. But, you know, we're talking about the coming move of God and those that are going to be used in this kingdom. You know, to bring in those folks in the kingdom, and Steve, you're exactly right. It's going to be an army of nameless and faceless people, spiritual army, okay, a spiritual army. And it reminds me of a prophetic word that Bob Jones shared. I wish we had the video for you. We don't, but I'll tell you what he said. He said that the harvest of harvesters has already begun. The harvest of harvesters. The harvest is going to be so large that we have to start bringing in the harvesters first. Those that are going to go in and bring this harvest in. We're talking about harvest. We're talking about souls. We're talking about people that are going to come to the saving knowledge of God. One day they're going to be living for the world, Satan, and going to hell. The next day they're going to be living for God, living for him and going to heaven and impacting this earth for him. And there's nothing more exciting to see the move of God, to experience the move of God. We're going to see unprecedented power, signs, and wonders. And they're not, the miraculous is not for the sake of putting on a show, but all signs and wonders are for a specific reason. Signs and wonders do things. Signs point to something. You know what they point to? In this case, they point to Jesus. His supremacy, his lordship, his majesty. He is truly the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. And we want to bring the whole world to his feet. And it's just some exciting, exciting days. You know, I think about Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says this about the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That's so full because it was all about the apostles' teaching, revelation that was coming forth, but it was also koinonia, the fellowship of the brethren. God has designed us to have a desire for God, but also to have a true, genuine desire, fellowship, koinonia, with the body of Christ, that no man is an island, no man is alone, and that when we come together, we bring the full counsel of God. Because you come with your abiding experience with God. You come with your abiding experience, God. We all come together collectively, and we're all hearing, so we know in part. We, you know, and then together, we encounter God in a greater dimension. So beautiful. But it says, everyone was filled. Think about this. Everyone, not some. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Every day they met together in the temple courts, and they continued to meet in homes. And I think about, that's what revival looks like. When God is so present in power, and people turn to him with such radical devotion, with such sincere, loving hearts. It's one thing just to hear a message. It's one thing just to hear the word of God. But it's another thing to allow the message, the truth of God's word, to penetrate your heart, to bring true transformational change. You know, people often boast about change. They boast about transformation, but the only one worthy of true transformation is the King of Glory. He's the only one that can bring true change. But when revival comes, when the awakening comes, all people want to do is be with God. Wherever there's a meeting, people want to gather, and they want to be with those that love God. And I think about during the days of the Brownsville revival, I remember revival ending at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning at times. And then you had all these people, thousands of them, that have just been charged by the presence of God. They've been encountered the Lord. They've given their lives to God. Maybe they got a healing. There's so many things that happens in on any given, you know, night, any given meeting. And you have now thousands of people loose at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So what do? They invade the Denny's and all the restaurants, and they start eating, and you see an entire restaurant. I remember night after night, it was hilarious. Restaurant, people testifying about what happened that night, and the waitresses are being prayed for, and such a joyous encounter, and they're feasting, and they're fellowshipping, and some people are still manifesting in chairs and just laughing, and it was just beautiful. And you go, and you, everyone goes to work the next day, and then you're talking about, hey, did you hear what happened? This person got saved, or did you hear about that miracle? Or did you hear? Oh my goodness, what? And you're anticipating with great faith. What is God going to do tonight? See, the centerpiece is not a preacher. The centerpiece is not a person. You know, a human person. The centerpiece is Jesus Christ and His Lordship. God is the center attraction, and when He shows up and it invades a city, and invades a group of people or a region or a country, watch out, because it's just miraculous and beautiful what happens. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to share on this coming move of God and how we can stir our hunger and get full of faith with great anticipation for what God's getting ready to do. When we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The bread. You know, if you haven't yet got a chance to go, which is really good when you're a bit woozy. ISIS too, by the way. I remember, by the way, I know we're going to talk about the torch, but when I didn't start getting seasick until I started seeing other people get seasick.
Oh, that's the worst.
And when I had my kids,
I needed the Dramamine, but if you got an extra one, I'll take about 7.
Well, I know when my kids, you know, they got sick, that didn't bother me at all, but it did bother Donna. My heart would go out. It's like, oh my goodness. But when I was in the Navy and grown men are getting seasick, it was just everywhere. And I thought, I am going to die in this ashtray. It was like, it was just all of that was happening. They smoked, so their ashtrays turned upside down. Everything was everywhere. So I finally made it to the pilot house and got me a big cup of ice and opened up both pilot house doors and wind was blowing through, and I was laid up against the wall, chewing ice, hoping that I will not get an agreement with what was taking place on that boat. Getting back to the torch, make sure that you get a chance to eat from the bread that we make available for you. Go to VFNTV.com. Go to the torch. You can subscribe to it easily, and every day will be in your email. You can sign up for the newsletter. It'll come to you once a week. Go to the torch. Go to VFNTV.com and sign up for the torch newsletter. By the way, there's a free gift waiting for you just to honor you for the whole experience, to thank you for the process. And in this relationship, even if it get a bit woozy, we can do this thing if we walk in agreement under our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless.
John, do you know the VFNTV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFNTV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFNTV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, some any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFNTV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about the coming move of God, and I'm excited right now.
Get stirred up. Oh, yeah.
You get stirred up in faith because you remember the days of outpouring, and you eagerly anticipate living under the canopy of his presence, and the awe factor that will God do it again? We're not talking about just an encounter. We're not talking about just a feeling. We're talking about the invasion of God. We're talking about when God shows up and overtakes. And that the presence of the Lord and the conviction of God is so strong that people just want to get right with God. They want to get right with God. Mm-hmm. And he's so awesome, he demands our allegiance. And I think for quite a while we're seeing an American gospel that comes out that says you can give your life to Jesus, and it's like an upgrade, it's an accessory, it's a download, if you will, a patch, so that you can better your life, not understanding that Jesus doesn't come to better your life. He comes to take over your life. Mm-hmm. Big difference.
Oh, yeah.
This is not an upgrade. This is a radical shift. You are dethroning yourself and declaring him king, Lord of your life. And then you decide, make a decision that you're going to become a follower of him, that you're pledging your life, your honor, you're pledging everything to the one and to his mission and to his will to come to pass. And I believe that Jesus is going to get radical followers again, that he's going to get those that are willing to leave everything behind for him, and to the point where they understand that he alone is truly enough. Life is so short. We have such a small time, Steve.
That's right.
And we can do great things for God if we live a surrendered life to him.
I think about it too, like what you're saying, it's just like there's going to be those that understand the riches of who Jesus is, the wealth of love, the wealth of mercy, the wealth of forgiveness. And I just can't help but I think about a recent discussion that we've had. It's just like, you know, the Bible talks about an analogy of a guy that finds some treasure in a field. And he goes and he joyfully sells all that he has, and he goes and he buys that field because he knows the treasure is there. And I just really feel like what you're saying is just like there's so many revelations about God that we don't know, that we have yet to tap into, that God wants to make known to us, that it's just like we'll willfully give up anything that we think is valuable in this life because we know the riches in Jesus Christ. We know the wealth of eternity. And just simply, I think about what Paul says is just like, just to know him.
Yeah.
I just want to know him. Like, I just want to know him more. He's that worth it.
Isn't that amazing? I remember, Pat, when you gave your life to the Lord and during that season of the Brownsville Revival, and just that it was such an awesome period of time. But could you ever imagine prior to such an amazing encounter that would cause your entire life to shift? Because, you know, you've seen your life take such awesome...
You mean prior to giving my life to the Lord?
Right. I mean,
imagine
how
my life would be. No, I mean, I could not see the future at all. I mean, it was very short-sighted, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
It was none. And even when I gave my life to God, it was like, could you really do anything with me?
Right.
Because you feel so, you know, worthless
right.
at that point because of the life you've lived. But it's just amazing what he's done since then.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You look back and you say, wow, God, you know, you're amazing because I didn't see this.
Yeah.
I didn't know the possibilities.
Yeah. I mean, you can't plan this. There's just no way. I mean, the things that he's taught me, the things I've learned, and just by revelation and by the Holy Spirit and just everything, it's amazing. It's just exciting to see what he's going to do next, really.
Yeah. And it's so true because when you see people that experience God, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really separate those that try to talk about God in their head, but then you know they're people that actually know him. And we want to encourage you today that, listen, God is not about it. The Bible is not just a book about facts and information and truth. It's an actual love letter that's alive. It's a living book that comes with the author, and that God desires an intimate relationship with you. I remember the first time I had that revelation. I was just blown away that the God of heaven cared about me that much that he desired to have a relationship with me. I mean, David said, what is man that you're mindful of him? It just blew me away.
Yeah.
And that it wasn't about, Christianity wasn't about rules, but it was about relationships.
Yeah.
Relationship with God primarily. And that God was bringing me into his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was his son.
Mm-hmm.
And that God had a place for me at the table. God has a place for you at the table. You're a son and a daughter of God. And I got to ask you, you know, are you positioned? Are you positioned for the coming move of God? Number one, do you know him? Is he your very best friend? Is he your Lord, your Savior? Not the man upstairs, not the co-pilot, not the lucky rabbit's foot, not the banker. I'm talking about, is he Lord? Is he Savior? Is he your very best friend? Do you wake up on the morning with him on your mind? Do you go to bed with him on your mind? Are you living your life with a consciousness and awareness that God and his eyes are always on me? We can live in such of that beautiful place in that realm, and out of that flows so many wonderful, amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
Time is short.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest trappings that we have, because you talked about, there was one guy who sold everything just to buy the field, but then there was another man, a rich man, and he thought that he did all the right stuff. He came up to Jesus and he says, listen, the laws, you know, I read the Bible. I got some understanding. I've kept this and I've kept this and I've kept this law since I was a young boy. And he wanted to explain to Jesus the goodness that was in him, what he thought was good, that he knew something about God, and he was trusting in what he knew in his head. And Jesus, having a word of knowledge, knew that for him, his true God was his wealth, was his money. So for him, God gave him the word, listen, you need to sell your possessions, and then come and follow me. It's amazing how this man who was so proud of his religious accomplishments, so proud of what he thought he knew about God, at that point, you know, he dropped the mic and just kept on going. Oh, no, never mind.
Never mind.
Never mind. I thought.
Yeah.
And I think America's in that place. We talked about earlier in a previous program about, you know, America's temperature shows that she's theologically sick. She is sick.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know God. And big reason is because she's trapped by the luxuries and the wealth that are in America. She's been drunk on the wealth. She's away comforts.
And it brings to mind too, it's just like in that same encounter with the rich man and Jesus, he says, you know, go ahead and sell everything and then you'll have true riches. And it's just like, that's, you know, and we talked about it in the previous program, it's just like, that's the inheritance of what life is. It's just like the riches not of this world, the riches not of things and stuff and income and what have you of this world, but the riches of love, the riches of a relationship with Jesus, the riches of knowing him, the riches of faith, the wealth of forgiveness, the wealth of compassion, these things that it's not about what you see, but that which you cannot see, because what you can't see is eternal. And it's just like to think about that. And it's just like, that really puts a lot of things about this world in the paradigm. And it's just like, is that really riches? Or Jesus says, no, come and follow me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And riches, you know, for a lot of people become the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes so prideful in the things that they have, or in the things that they think they know, in knowledge, in information, in wealth, because wealth gives people access to things, people, and stuff. And, you know, one of the greatest things that could happen to us is, you know, if you become so prideful that you can't listen, you become so prideful that you think that what you think you know is right, you know, God has a way in his mercy to allow us to have those aha moments where we kind of run into a wall. And basically, you know, that's what happens when we decide to live a life independent from God. We are eventually going to wreck that car. We are, you know, it's going to happen. The question is, where is that going to happen? I often talk about the person taking a cross-country trip on a spare tire. I mean, that's how many Americans are living their lives. Wow. They're leaving the East Coast, going to California on a spare tire, with a false assumption that they're just going to get there, they're going to make it, everything's going to be all right. And the amazing blind faith and the false confidence.
And that tire is bald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the question is not if the tire is going to pop. The question is, where is that tire going to pop on you? Mm. Is it going to pop as you're going through Detroit at a certain time of the night? Is it going to pop when you're in the desert of Nevada? Where is that tire going to pop on you where you're going to be stranded, broken, disgusted? And a lot of times when you come to the end of yourself, when you come to that place, all the people that thought that was a good idea for you to be partying and doing your thing and living your life, it's amazing how those people are nowhere around during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Most people that I've seen in broken states, you know where they are? All alone. Alone. And it's interesting that they don't call out for the people that they were partying with and all the old friends and all this. They don't call for those people because they understand that those people are lost too, but they want to know those that have a relationship with God. And what we're trying to just alert you today is, listen, live life for the fullest for God. Make the necessary changes in your life. Position yourself today, number one, to know him, the one true God. And then two, if you know him, to serve him with everything you have in your life. That's our greatest call, to love the Lord God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. When we encounter him, the only natural conclusion is, we give you our lives, King Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Have your way, do what you want. And I'm telling you, there's coming a move of God. It's going to sweep across this country, and we're going to see people come in by the droves. You can be a part of it now and be part of the harvest of harvesters, because Jesus said, we already know, the Bible tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You can be a part of this great in gathering souls. Make Jesus your number one priority and watch what he'll get ready to do in your life. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, You can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 I Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 I Guy.
$50 I Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. I remember when I had to hire folks for employment and fire folks, and I just never liked doing that. I would stay up all night. I mean, it was the most difficult thing in the world for me to do. I mean, just could not do. I was horrible at it. And I think I was more nervous than the person. It was like, it's okay. It's all right. I understand. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. And I used to work with a gentleman at one time. He was like the general manager at one place I worked. And I was another manager. And we would, we had to, you know, fire some folks. He would have me come in the office with him, and we would speak to the employee. And he had such an amazing way, or interest, let's say amazing, say interesting way of
unique.
Yeah, unique. That's a good way. Unique way of letting people go, firing them. When he would say, like, Pat, listen, I brought you in here to the office. I want to talk about your performance. And I just want to let you know that we appreciate your efforts here at the job and what you're doing. But as of right now, we're terminating your employment. And we appreciate you giving a good effort and trying, and thank you very much. And if you need anything else, you know, please feel free to let us know. But we're, you know, thank you very much. And he'd walk out.
Short and sweet.
And they look at me like, did I just get fired? Like, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yes, sir. Yes,
yeah. Yeah. That, and they were like, okay. You know, and it's like, wow. Just like that. He was able to do it. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, my goodness.
Wow. That's so smooth.
And it was interesting. And the key phrase here is that we're terminating your employment. Not you. The employment. So they're able to save face because they can say, hey, you know.
Hey, that's right. Hey, they got rid of my job. It wasn't me after all.
I feel so much better that I didn't get fired.
It was my employment that got terminated. My employment got terminated.
My job got removed from me, not me.
Oh my goodness.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to talk about and get right into some of the grades that are reportedly out regarding sex trafficking, grades for states that are weak in this area. And much of the attention of sex trafficking and human trafficking has been really shed abroad to other countries, Cambodia, you know, different places in Europe and around the world. But many are not even aware that so much sex trafficking is happening right here in the United States. And so we want to be able to share this report from CBN as they talk to us about these grades and what's unfolding in this area in the United States. Watch this.
When it comes to the fight against trafficking, the battle is being fought largely in the states. That's why Shared Hope International, an anti-trafficking nonprofit based in Washington, D.C., issues a report card for the states each year. And joining us now to take a look at this year's high and low performers is Samantha Vardaman, Senior Director at Shared Hope. Samantha, this year Louisiana got the highest grade, an A+. What are they doing right?
Well, Louisiana has taken a very targeted look at the laws that address specifically this crime that we're talking about, child sex trafficking. And because it's a unique crime that hits on various parts of the law, each state needs to look at their entire code of laws to identify all of those weak spots and shore them up with updated and improved laws. And Louisiana's done that.
Now, several states, Pennsylvania, Colorado, and Delaware, raised their grades significantly. How were they able to do that?
Similarly, they took a comprehensive approach, and they had leadership within the higher levels of law enforcement and government, and they were able to really form a group around them to identify the entire range of laws that needed to be addressed, and they introduced comprehensive bills.
You know, Samantha, this seems like a no-brainer. I mean, who is for trafficking, right? So is it hard to build consensus around these laws?
It's not difficult to build the consensus around the laws in the theory. The problems that we run into are, frankly, the more pragmatic issues of resources, fiscal impact, prison population issues, sort of the collateral effects of making this crime more serious. But everybody agrees that child sex trafficking is an issue that that is tragic and a threat to our states.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, there are four states with failing scores: California, Maine, Michigan, and South Dakota. What is your concern with those states?
Well, our concern is that if a state is not shoring up its state laws to be at the level of the other states and at the level of the federal laws, they are going to attract traffickers. They are going to attract the crime because the risk is low. I should say that Michigan, since the closing date of our research, has passed a large bill, I believe 22 provisions, and we should expect to see that state raise its grade for next year's report card. Also, states like South Dakota, which tend to have a smaller population and perhaps less crime, are able to rely more heavily on their federal counterparts. So the U.S. Attorney's Office in South Dakota has really taken the bulk of the child sex trafficking cases to prosecution there.
Samantha, you've been grading the states for 4 years now. Is it making a difference? Are you seeing the states with the high grades actually effectively fight trafficking in their states?
Well, unfortunately, we haven't had the capacity yet to evaluate implementation in every state. But certainly many of the states where we have seen good enforcement, aggressive enforcement, are states that have good laws. In the 4 years since we've started this, the first year there were 26 states with a grade of F. This year there were just four. And just having those laws available to law enforcement, to prosecutors, and to victim advocates, because many of the laws we speak of are not criminal laws, they're civil laws. And they enable the victims, the survivors of these crimes, to pursue justice against the perpetrators through the civil process.
All right. Well, great update. Samantha Vardaman with Shared Hope. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That was Samantha with Shared Hope International. We want to encourage you to visit Shared Hope International. We'll make sure that their website is related to this segment. You want to make sure that you're being informed. I love some of the three main things that's a part of this organization. The first thing is they want to do is help to prevent all human trafficking and sex trafficking of children and women. They have a vision to restore those that have been set free from this, horrible thing that's been happening to them. And they also want not just to stop there, but they want to bring justice. And one of the ways that they're doing that is by, giving these grades to states as they evaluate the laws that are on the books to bring penalty and judgment to those who are literally selling and buying women and children. I mean, you're looking at a horrible situation in our country where we can allow that to happen without, no one's paying attention to it. Yeah. The consensus needs to be a whole lot larger. And since we have a representative government, that means your voice can be heard when you contact your local congressman, your local congresswoman, state senator, and begin to tell them, listen, we want laws on the books. We want to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to protect innocent children. And we also want to do all that we can to help you know, bring awareness so that we can prevent these tragedies from happening.
And that's one of the things that I think is just is such a boom of light. I think about Exodus Cry and I think about Operation Underground Railroad. It's like these are the type of organizations that are actually making an impact. And you think about how much more of an awareness there is that sex trafficking is being known. It's just like, hey, this is a problem. And there are people that are actually responding to it. And it's just, it's beautiful to see that there, it is being acknowledged and people are responding to it.
Yeah. Exodus Cry does phenomenal work in terms of what I'm aware of in terms of their documentary films. And they do a great job in educating us to the plight of these women and children all over the world, And unless these guys are prosecuted and dealt with, this is going to continue to expand. What they have found is that these drug dealers are living a life of selling drugs because they sell the drug once and it's over, but they're finding it more profitable to sell a human being over and over again. It's an evil that must be stopped. We can pray and we can put our hands and our efforts and our feet to actually be, you know, employed in action to bring justice. We can do this together. Let's help rescue as many children and women as possible and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they can be restored, healed, and used in the kingdom of God. This is our goal. Amen. Will you join us?
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Forget VFNTV.com, where you can find everything that you ever wanted to know about VFN TV in the daily video program and so much more. Also, the torch. You'll see a flaming torch in the left-hand corner. Go ahead and select it with over 3,000 highlights that are available for you so that you can just search and look and share and pass. A lot of times, the torch allows us to add more to our conversation. We have pictures, we have videos, we have graphs sometimes, and just allows you to take more time to really go deeper because we only have a limited amount of time on air, but the torch allows you to just get all the related resources and all the related articles and allows you to go so much deeper. Also, we have different tabs for you under the VFN torch where you can look up prophecy, all the prophetic words that have been shared, and there have been quite a few. We have words, wisdom moments. We have original intent, and we have a new one that I'm very excited about, third great awakening. That's what we're believing for. We're here keeping a conversation light We're here to have a conversation and with hopes and prayers and belief that a third great awakening is going to touch our nation and the pendulum is going to swing back. Instead of hearts and minds and actions that are turned away from God, hearts are going to be turned automatically to God and on fire. Mm. So thank you for being a part of this conversation, and thank you for being part of a movement of keeping the conversation light, and that's L-I-G-H-T, the light of the world. And we want to keep Jesus on our minds always, because yes. he is the lifter of our soul. We love him, and we just want to do everything that we can to make him famous in the world today.